All right, Investor Plus is officially live, and it's everything you've been waiting for.
We're talking AI power networking to connect you with other investors who are serious about building their portfolio, not just dreaming about it.
You'll get access to Market Master Her, our step-by-step ebook that'll help you master any market, and an on-demand real estate fundamentals course that'll help you build your confidence. And nationwide chapter access, exclusive discounts worth over $6,000, and a 21-day meditation guide, because hey, balance is key to sell your property or to keep your property. So many women that we talk to in our community are really struggling with this decision, especially right now in the market that we're in. And I put together three factors to consider, to really evaluate to sell or to keep the property that you're figuring things out with.
I'm excited about it because depending on what season you are in your life, you might have a different need. And I think seeing the same situation from a different perspective is super helpful.
Welcome to the Invest Her podcast. I'm Liz Faircloth.
And I am your co-host, Andressa Gadelli. So let's dive in. What is the first one?
So here's the deal. So many times, Andressa, when people are asking questions, should I keep my property or sell my property? It's almost like you're looking at something so close. So the biggest thing you need to do is just move that thing you're looking at further away, a little more of the big picture. And what I call, are you really considering your future? And is the property aligned with your future? So let me give you an example about that and give you some more to think about. You know, we owned over 100 properties in Trenton, New Jersey, which is the state capital, for those who aren't familiar, for many years, right? That was our portfolio. That's what we were focused on. We were local investors. We only invested within 30 minutes of our home. And then we had to ask the tough questions. Do we sell these properties or some of them or keep them? And the biggest thing that helped us kind of get clear on our path was where do we want to be in 5 years with our investments? What do we want to be investing in? Where do we want to be investing? What type of properties do we want to be investing in? That holistic kind of future question helps kind of guide you in a sense, like your guiding light, I like to call it, right? We talk about our guiding light, your North Star. And you need to be clear on that before you can answer this very tactical question, should I keep or sell this particular property? So a couple of questions to ask yourself. Does the property align with your future? You know, where are you headed in 5 years? What does that life look like for you? You know, from a lifestyle perspective, from a numerical perspective, obviously from like a, you know, return on your investment and passive income goals or, you know, those type of things. So there's three things within the future I want you to consider is market, asset class, and strategy. Because those answers, like what markets do I want to be investing in? What kind of asset classes do I want to be investing in? What strategy do I want to deploy for that asset class? That matters. That matters when you're really evaluating that. Should I keep? Should I sell? So let's go back to Trenton. I'll just use that as the example during this episode. We looked at our portfolio and it was multifamily. So the asset class was correct. Value add, you know, like the classic Burr method. That was the strategy. That made a lot of sense for us. It was the market in particular that we really wanted to elevate. You know, Trenton had a lot of opportunity when we entered the market. It didn't improve and we didn't see the market improvements over the 10 years we were there. So at that point, we had to ask ourselves, Trenton 10 years from now may very well look like Trenton today. Is that going to be good enough for us and our goals, our financial goals? And the answer was no. So it's very clear that we needed to sell those properties. And we did it very strategically. We did it very not in one fell swoop. We didn't actually sell all those 100. So what are your thoughts there, Andressa?
I want to throw a curveball on it.
All right.
Don't you love that?
I love curveballs. I want to play devil's advocate. She always likes to say, I want to play devil's advocate.
I want to put a curveball there because in my situation, I had to add something else when I had to make that decision. I had to add like a personal decision. I'll give you a very specific example. So going through a divorce, you're separating portfolio. So you're considering keeping it and how are you going to keep it? So technically, logically, it makes total sense to keep it, right? You have built that. There's equity in it. Is the right market? Is the right asset class? Is the right strategy? Is all yes, yes, yes. And I remember having this conversation with you, Liz, after trying that route and still not working in terms of expectations on how to handle the partnership that would be strategically business partnership, right? And the price that I was paying to do not being in alignment was higher than any possible return on investment that I can possibly like think of. And the cost of my health was not worth it. So for those of you that are going through a separation right now and you are considering it, you're going to obviously think, well, I am not letting go of this bone because there is a lot of equity in it and I see where I'm doing. I get it, all of it. In my situation, I did go that route and I had to make a very rough and tough decision to swallow that pill and let go of the attachment that I had in my head that there was no other way but that way, because it was costing me my peace. And that was not worth it. And I remember you and I having that conversation and coming to that breakthrough that I also should consider my way of being, my well-being as a whole when making that decision.
Totally agree. And that it completely aligns with what I had said earlier, is that like you were able to take a step back and not just go, wow, this is an amazing investment, right? Yeah. Or I really want to hold on to this. And we've talked about that, but it was a bigger vision, a bigger goal you were moving towards and bigger peace, not bigger peace. Peace was a bigger and more important value to you than, yes, than that immediate property. So great perspective. So here's the second one. The second one I really like, because I don't think enough people have enough creative tools in their toolbox. And now more than ever, I think it's not even a question, should I keep it or sell it? I think there's more possibilities that you could be considering. So Andressa, the question usually comes up when people have a private lender, a hard money lender, they're involved in the project, right? Which would cause you to ask the question, do I keep and refinance it? Do I keep it as is? How do I pull that money out? Usually it comes up from a financing perspective. Not all the time, but a lot of the conversations we've been getting in with a lot of the women in our
community. I don't have people coming to us and say, yeah, my property's cash flowing tremendously. Should I sell it or keep it? No, right. It's usually correct when there is a financial going on.
Yeah. So here's some considerations. And what you want to do when you're really kind of faced with this question is, I always say you want to have three possibilities, right? You want to consider at least three. And right now, refinancing, it could work with some properties that may not work because of the interest rates, right? So the possibilities I want to offer to you is there's always another way. Number one, you're in a market, because what can you change and what can you not change? You can't change the market. You can't technically change a single family home. Well, you could, you could change it per se to like a multifamily, but often that's a harder thing to do versus the strategy at which you're making the cash flow, right? A long-term tenant, a midterm tenant, you rent by the room, whatever the strategy is. So the question is, have you considered multiple strategies for that very asset that you're selling? Because you might have a long-term tenant in four of your properties. And if you actually started to do the research and say, wow, this market is really prime for midterm rentals because we're right down the block from a hospital, could that shift your perspective on the long-term goals and keeping it or selling it, right? So don't dismiss the opportunity for strategies in today's market based on the market that you're in, obviously. The second thing I want to mention is that often private lenders are involved in projects and you're like, I got to do one of the two, right? I either got to refinance it, I have to sell it. If I keep it, how do I pull that money out and make that private lender whole? The other thing to consider, and something that we've done, and I mentioned this to one of our Strive mentees on one of our mastermind calls, is to consider potentially converting the private lender to an equity partner. There is a way to do that in projects that they come in as a lender, and there is a way to restructure. Obviously, you know, connect with an attorney that knows what they're doing. Once you kind of creatively figure it out. But you got to think about win-wins. Sometimes private lenders want to be in with the project with you, more of like, we win together, we lose together. Or they're like, nope, I just want to be paid back my loan. It depends on the person. It depends on the project. Does it make sense for the project? Does it make sense for you and them? That's the conversation. I don't think enough people are thinking creatively. Okay, how can we redeploy that 100 grand? Is that just an investment in the property? We don't know what the other person may want or need. We always want to assume, but just because a lender comes in as a lender doesn't mean they have to stay as a lender. And I just want to throw that out as a possibility. Not enough, I think, investors consider that as a possibility.
I think there's a level of self-awareness on this type of conversation that becomes a skill set. What do I mean by that is that I don't care what the problem is or what the challenge is. Many times our ego, our experience, our way of being, we're like blindsided and we only see one option. And we struggle with that because we truly believe that that is the only way out. So if you are facing whatever that situation might be, again, I couldn't care what the situation is. I guarantee you, if you seek to understand, if you connect with other people, you will find at least three other ways to do things, or more if you start expanding and talking to the right people and putting yourself on the right circles. It is just a skill set. So kind of like everything that I do, I was like, okay, how is my ego playing in this? Do I want to be right? Or am I willing to hear other ways to execute that and not just shut down immediately saying, yes, but that's not my market. Yes, but I try it. Like the yes, but is the freaking ego speaking so loud and it's holding you back and keeping you freaking safe exactly where you are. So give yourself the opportunity to question, is this really the only strategy that will make financial sense in my market? Is this the only way that I can solve this problem? How can I force myself to start thinking at minimum three ways to solve this problem here? Then the box of possibilities just opens up so much. And I think it's a skill set, Liz, but it starts with awareness. Because if you're not aware of it, you're in a rabbit hole, and that's your only way out, one way, refinance. And I cannot refinance. So now I'm complaining about interest rate, and I am bleeding the hell out of it for months and months and months, and I am stuck.
I think the other thing, Andressa, that not enough investors are asking is like, what's even working in this economy, right? What's working in this market? You know, people are thriving with investments right now and other people are not. And it's very almost like, it's not even like there's people in the middle. Like you're either doing really well with your investments or you're not. It seems so, black and white in a lot of ways. So what you want to ask the question of is what's needed? What's working in this market? Where are other investors having success? Maybe I need to think about that or learn about that or tap the community. So I always like to say, and you and I like to say, if ADUs is an opportunity and you have land and the area fits that need, then do a little research on that and then post it in our Facebook community. Like, hey, I'm thinking I want to, add a dwelling on my property. I'm really intrigued because of X, Y, and Z. This is what I have found. Share with me my blind spots. Share with me what you all are seeing as well. Versus, have you considered an ADU? Right? That I don't even know what you're asking. It's like real random. And it really shows your naiveness, right? And I'm not saying I'm expert in everything, but I know enough to do a little research, a little bit, if I'm going to ask for support from someone. That's
you
important.
Know what happened when people ask for support in the right way? It's so beautiful, right? Because
everyone
then
jumps in.
Everybody that did say, I have experience with ADUs, let's hop on a call. And then all of a sudden you have people on a freaking Zoom call discussing ADUs and their experience, their pros and their cons. It doesn't matter what it is, but if you show that you have done your homework, you have walked the walk, you have skin in the game, and now you are asking very specific questions, people will take you much more seriously than versus like, well, Have anybody invested in ADU? What can you teach me? That's very egocentric, and people are not excited about that, right? People are excited to work with people that are also excited and doing the work needed. And I've seen this over and over again, this like rally happening around this woman here that now she's bypassing podcasts, courses, trainings, because she has a lot of people that have done it and that they can share their experience and their mistakes. It's just like a shortcut, biggest shortcut ever. And it's available for all of you that are listening. It doesn't matter what subject it is. Post it on our Facebook community. Do your homework, post it there, and take advantage.
I'm going to put one more piece of advice out there, especially in the where we are with selling or keeping. If you have land, your options increase. Meaning you can put something on your property. You can build on your property. You could also go to manufactured home, even like the ADUs. We have someone in our community we're going to be doing a future session on of like, you know, manufactured tiny homes, right? So there's so many different possibilities. Start to look at selling or keeping this property isn't just the property. It's the land at which it's on. And if there's other opportunity, then the value add opportunity is there. You just have to get creative. Obviously within the market, within the constraints you have. Again, people overlook that and they're like, you know, they sell this like acres of diamonds when it could have been something more. So again, possibility was number two. The third one I want to share is when you get everything, you're getting all these pieces, right? You're gathering, you're in the gathering stage, right? You're getting possibilities, you're getting different ways to look at it. You really want to start to organize those things in a spreadsheet, you know, in a simple spreadsheet, but something that you can really say, I can compare. If I sell it, this is what it looks like. If I keep it, this is what it looks like. If I keep it and refinance it with another, you know, with an equity, like all the different possibilities that you're like, this makes sense. These options could make sense. Don't judge the options on step two, okay? Because you might be missing something really important in that possibility that could increase your cash flow by $500 or you're leaving money on the table somewhere because you're just not familiar with how to convert a lender to an equity partner. Don't dismiss that. You just want to start to lay out what's the possibilities that make sense based on this market, based on my asset, and based on my future goals, right? Number one. And then you start to say, okay, what might it look like? Okay. And then I start to talk to the banker or I talk to the lender and you're starting to put your kind of like assessment together. And then that at that point, it's really, really great to share that too with a community because you might be missing something or looking at it a little differently than if you haven't done creative financing and you may be missing a piece there. So you really want to tap the community. I always say once you've put these possibilities in a little bit of a structured format, right? Because you have to compare apples to apples to make the decision ultimately. I always say that that's how you're going to make your decision, but have three possibilities. Anything to add there, Andressa?
No, I think that's the ultimate goal, right? Sometimes we are swimming our head and that is not enough. We need to put in writing and prove our concept or not. So it's like, yeah, this is probably what's going to cost in terms of insurance. No, get the real numbers, like really, really take advantage of the companies that support our community. They're here to serve you. Run different scenarios with them. And get real numbers. Why not? You got to compare apples to apples. Otherwise, you're just making assumptions inside your own head and just writing things off based on how you feel about it.
Yeah. Or what we hear about it, right? Because we're always saying like, you don't buy property to sell, to never sell a property, right? And so there's a certain impact when you sell from a tax perspective, from a capital gains perspective, from just I bought this property to increase our generational wealth and now I'm selling it. What does that mean about me as an investor, right? That happens. That's a conversation we're having with people and I've had with myself many times. So you have to look at that big picture and you also have to say, what are the implications of doing these options? And then how is it going to set me up for that success? Selling some properties have been some of the best decisions we've ever made so that we can meet our future goals, right? And so don't dismiss that. Don't dismiss that kind of big picture, I just want to say, because selling doesn't mean anything more than you're selling a property, part of your path, part of your journey. But it may make sense to sell it. I mean, not to keep it. It's just, you have to evaluate everything. So with everything here, I'd love to see, you know, some of you are really struggling with this decision with a particular property or multiple properties. Go through this three-step process. Put your spreadsheet, add your spreadsheet on the Investor Facebook community. Tag us. I'm inviting you to tag us and we will weigh in and give you our opinion for free. We want you to take advantage of this because that's why we built this community. Right, Andressa?
Yeah, absolutely. I love to dissect. I'm going to find holes. Thanks so much for listening. Bye.
Thank you.
If you enjoyed this podcast and want to receive updates on our next interviews, go to our website, therealestateinvestor.com. There, you can subscribe to our show, become part of our investor community, and get updates on upcoming episodes.
If you like our show, please share with other women who would benefit. And don't forget to leave us a rating on iTunes. We'd really appreciate it. And as always, we encourage you to take one action as a result of today's show and put it into motion so you can live both a financially free and balanced life. Thanks for spending time with us.
Ciao.